Greetings and welcome to Marriage Talk. We hope you have been tuning in to our past recordings and listening to all the conversations that we've been having. And we hope you've been enjoying it just as much as we have been enjoying recording it. So today we're going to do a different topic. But before we go ahead, over to you, Apostle. Would you like to just say a few words before we start?
Of course. So I'm very glad that we are regularly coming together to talk and discuss on some of these topics that are very essential. Sometimes we come to church and we receive help and instruction for the more spiritual areas of our life, the so-called spiritual areas of our life, and we ignore our relationships, we ignore our heart, we ignore a lot of the emotional sides or the personal sides of a lot of our, you know, family life and marriage and parenting. And that's the goal of this podcast, that we are able to touch your relationships, especially your relationship at home with your spouse. And if you're not married, then, you know, how do you deal with that? What do you have as your life goal, perspective? And I'm sure that today's conversation is going to be encouraging and it is going to bring life. And I hope that when you listen to this conversation, you're also able to ask certain questions to yourself, and that you're able to ask some questions about the person you want to get married to, about the person that you are already married to, or about certain changes that you want to bring about in your environment. Because at the end of the day, we are not doing this just to give you a little more information. We are doing this so that we can all practically, personally grow as we engage with the Word of God.
So true. And I just want to speak for the people out there who you think that these podcasts are done only for the married people, but this is not done just for a certain group of people. We're trying to bring out topics that can even bring people who are preparing for marriage, people who are single, people who have been married in the past and for some reason you are single, whether you've been divorced or you've lost your spouse. So we're hoping to cover all aspects and all groups. And
absolutely. I have so many people texting me and saying we've been preparing for marriage, and the best way that we've been preparing ourselves is by listening to this podcast. And we've been going back into the archives and listening to all the podcasts from the beginning and just, you know, discussing about certain things that we have addressed on the podcast. And that's an amazing way to prepare yourself, because if you go into marriage uninformed or ill-informed or with the wrong understanding, then the expectation that you will have will also be faulty. And so I thank God for every one of you that are being blessed, even if you're not married or even if you're on the way to marriage.
I mean, I can testify for myself. I know I have been blessed, even though I'm hosting this, but I believe that every time you say something, gold is spilled out onto the tables and there is so much for us to grab. Having said that, let's go into what we're going to discuss today. Today is a topic that was on my mind for people who have been single. You know, and not just when I'm saying single, I'm not talking about the youngsters.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about people who have been married and been separated or divorced, or have been married for a long time and have lost their loved one, have lost their spouse. So singleness on a whole, what according to you could be the sources of being single?
I'm sure that there are many people who have decided, who've like desired for it and have decided in their hearts that they want to stay single. And I'm sure there are many people who have decided that, you know, it is too late, or that it is not working out, or I've tried this before and I've been in relationships, I've tried dating someone and I've tried my hand at it, or something's just doesn't work out and they've kind of given up on relationships. Then there are others, like you rightly mentioned, those who were married, but then they had to be separated, they had to be divorced, or for whatever reasons, they had to disconnect from that relationship and get out. And of course, there are people who were married and committed and devoted in a marriage, and yet for unfortunate reasons, one of the spouses, they pass away, and then they are left with the burden of carrying the entire, you know, family on themselves. And they can also be categorized as single people, even though worldly speaking, we may call them widowed or divorced, but technically they are single. Yeah. They are alone, and they have to deal with all the same emotions and all the same barriers that young single people experience and go through. Although they have a little different take on life, they are not as much adventurous as young people may be, and yet they have to still fend for themselves. They still have to deal with their own emotions, their walk with God, their relationships outside the home, in the same way that someone who is young and new in the Lord, or young and just preparing for marriage in their early 20s or 30s, they would also have to make certain changes, or, you know, have the same perspective that young people have. So I'm sure that there are different walks of life. You know, there are different people from different backgrounds that can experience singleness. Something that I have to say from the beginning is that it is not a bad thing. It's not a sad thing, or it is not a negative thing. It is not something for you to look down upon, you know, if you've not found somebody to get married to. Jesus was single. The person that we love, we worship, we idolize, we run after, we want to model our lives after. He was single. And there is absolutely nothing wrong in being single. There's absolutely nothing wrong in not pursuing marriage as your ultimate goal in life. And in fact, I think that the greater danger is for those who make marriage as a big goal in life, that you can end up idolizing marriage, you know, and making that your ultimate destiny, making that your ultimate destination to reach. And then you get married and then you're like, you know, oh my God, you know, what next? Because you made marriage as your the biggest goal in your life, you know. So I think that it is okay for you to not look down on yourself or look down on someone else if they don't have a perspective that is leading them towards marriage, you know. So marriage is definitely an honorable thing. Marriage is something that God gives as a gift. You know, a life partner is a gift, no doubt about it. And yet, it's not something that you do to earn anything. You know, I've been asked this question, what did I do to deserve this? Or what did I do that God didn't give me a life partner? And there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. It's not because you did something or you didn't do something. In other words, when I'm giving a gift to somebody, it is not because that person is good. See, wages is because that person is good or he has been accurate with his work. But gift is not because of your goodness. Gift is because of my goodness. I don't give gifts because of what you did. I give gifts because of what I would like to give to you, what is my perspective towards you. And for whatever reason, if God has not brought a person into your life, it doesn't make you any inferior. It doesn't make you any less beautiful. It doesn't make you any less worthy. It doesn't make you any less loved by the Lord, you know, because God's love is not proved by how many gifts he gives you. His love is proved by what he did for you on the cross, what he paid so that he can redeem you. He can make you as part of his family. I think that is the ultimate demonstration of love and acceptance. So we have to learn to accept ourselves if that is what we feel, this is my calling in life, or this is my current season of life. We have to learn to embrace it. We have to learn to celebrate it. We have to learn not to despise it. Because if you despise it, if you constantly crib about it, if you complain it, then you will not have the grace and the anointing to live victorious in this season. Whether you're married or you're unmarried. See, if you're married and you're constantly cribbing about certain things that is going on in your marriage, if there are certain issues and there are certain challenges and you're constantly cribbing about it, then I can assure you, you will not have the grace, the anointing to be victorious in those areas. But on the other hand, if you are married or if you're unmarried, But you embrace that season and you say, whatever it is, I believe God has placed me here. I believe this is my lot for life. This season, this particular year, this particular season of life, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to celebrate it. I'm going to live it to the fullest. And I'm going to work within the boundaries that are placed around me. Yeah. You know, as a married person, you can do certain things. As an unmarried person, you can't do certain things. And you can do certain things as an unmarried person. We embrace all of those possibilities and we just say, okay, we will live life to the fullest within the boundaries that God has established in this season of my marriage or my singleness. And when we embrace that, we will actually learn to enjoy it rather than living with a perspective that, you know, I'm hurting, everything is going wrong and it's challenging. You know, a while back we did this podcast with Pastor Virginia and we spoke a little bit on singleness. I think I can leave the link for that podcast here in the show notes. So if you'd like to listen to more about singleness, you should go back and listen to that conversation with Pastor Virginia. And she expounded on how you need to learn to embrace and enjoy your singleness. Mm. And you'll not regret it. It's not a curse. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Especially many in our culture and our Indian society makes it look like this person is an untouchable or a reject, you know, if he's a single person, which is not true. It is definitely not how Christians should adopt this belief system. And it's very necessary to have a clear perspective.
Yeah, I like how you spoke about, you know, Jesus being single and how, honestly, it is looked down upon in our society, just being single or even being, you know, being married and or divorced. Or it's just that idea is just looked down upon. I remember, I'm just going to share something really small. It just came to my mind while I was talking to you. I remember going for a camp, church camp, and this was a couple of years ago. And, you know, all the moms were sitting at the back with the babies at the church camp. And I was feeling so bad that I wasn't able to receive in that church camp as much as I wanted to. And I just looked around and I'm seeing only the moms at the back with the babies, you know, because the babies are the ones making the noise. And so we're at the back. And as soon as the session gets over, you know, these few youngsters come up to me and tell me, can you pray for us to get married? And I was just looking at it. I'm like, what do you guys have is a blessing where you can, you know, receive from God or just enjoy time with God uninterrupted, you know, not having that responsibility of having a big, like, honestly, I was sitting there and wondering, I wish I was there. And they were sitting down and, you know, wishing that they were here. But honestly, I realized that we just need to embrace the season that we are in, enjoy and ask God, what is it that you want me to learn in this season, you know? So thank you for bringing that to light. Coming to the next question that I had in mind was, what are the criteria for someone to get remarried? Now, this is for someone who is probably a widower or divorced. But at the same time, there is also a question that I have is, is it allowed for someone who is divorced to get married again? I'm just going to read a scripture that speaks about the same. In Matthew 5:32, in the second half of 32, it says, and whoever marries a woman who has been divorced commits adultery. I feel like there are people who do think that if they're going to get married to someone who is divorced, is it allowed? Firstly, they have the question in their mind. And is it even allowed to meet someone who has been divorced? So basically, what criterias? Also, I mean, I'm covering two different things over here, for people who are divorced and for people who have been widows or widowers.
Absolutely. I think there's no harm in remarriage because marriage is not permanent. You know, in no sense of the word, marriage is permanent. We think, oh, soulmates, life mates, this is for life. And it is definitely true that God has intended for marriage to be permanent. It is definitely true that what God has joined together, man should not separate. And of course, if we start talking about divorce, it's going to be a completely different podcast. We should, if you have more questions on divorce or practical questions on why, when, what, how, you know, you are welcome to write to us and we'd be more than glad to pick that out in a different conversation. But marriage is definitely a temporary thing. That is something that we have to get into our minds, because there was a group of people that came to Jesus and asked him, suppose there was a woman who got married to a person, and then the husband died, and then she got married to the second brother, according to the Jewish law.
Correct.
Then the second brother dies, and then third. And like this, she married about seven brothers, and all seven of them died. And then the question was, what will this woman do in eternity if they are resurrected? Where and whose wife will this woman be? And Jesus was like very quick to answer this and explaining, this is temporary. Marriage is something that we do here on the earth for human relationships, for certain fulfillment, certain fruitfulness that God has assigned for human race here on the earth. But when we pass on into eternity, this is not going to be our permanent state. We are not going to be married for all eternity. This is what we are experiencing and enjoying here. We are not going to be carrying this into eternity. Which means that your marriage to one person, if it is dissolved or annulled or broken because of death or because of other unfortunate circumstances, it is okay for you to remarry. And in the Bible, there is definitely precedence, there is definitely teaching in the Old and in the New about remarriage. And there's absolutely nothing wrong in remarriage. Now, coming back to the verse that you quoted about Jesus saying, anybody that marries a divorced woman is committing adultery. He was speaking from the context that a lot of divorces that would happen was because of adultery, was because of lust. If you go back, if you read the context in that scripture, Jesus is speaking about lust. He's speaking about how if you look at a woman with lust in your eye, you've already committed adultery with that person. And the only criteria to even consider divorce is if there is an adultery. And if somebody has committed adultery and has been divorced because of it, then you are going and engaging with this person for remarriage, then that might be a problem. But is there any sin that cannot be forgiven? Is there any sin that cannot be, washed with the blood of Jesus? Is there anything that God cannot settle for you, give you a clean slate? So if you're asking me, if I've just gotten out of a marriage, should I go and, start looking for a marriage again immediately? Then my advice would be, no, take your time.
Yeah.
Enjoy this season of your life. Embrace what God is doing in your life and just celebrate that season and just explore singleness. Just explore the freedom you have right now. Don't be in this constant pursuit for the next life partner, because the last relationship that you had, because it was marriage, because it was intimate, because it was very personal, it has left so much of that person in you. And you will have to take a while to be healed. You will have to take a while to be restored, even in your relationship with God.
Wow.
Especially if there is sin involved, especially if there is adultery or any kinds of breaking of faithfulness involved, then you will have to take time to really expose your brokenness to God, and if necessary, to a trusted community around you, so that you can find healing in your heart before you go exploring for a next person to get married to. Otherwise, what you're going to do is you're just going to replicate the mistakes you've made here in the next marriage. You're just going to take the struggles and you're going to accelerate, you're going to amplify it in the next marriage. The statistics say that the rate of divorce in the second and third marriages is much, much more higher, almost like 50 to 75% higher compared to the rate of divorce in the first marriage.
Wow.
Which means the more number of times you're getting married, the easier it becomes for you to just get fed up and get out of the marriage. And that attachment is not deep enough. The bond is not, strong enough. So is remarriage okay? Absolutely. But then for that, you need to almost go through a full rebirth in your heart. Your soul needs to be refashioned, reformed. You can't just... Yeah, it is a lot of work. Marriage is a lot of work. Relationships is a lot of work. And that's why I tell young people, don't jump into marriage. Take time, study, read. spend time in conversing important things with your fiance, not just about how her hair looks beautiful and how you admire her Instagram posts. Yeah, I mean, there are deeper things to talk about and have a consensus before you get into marriage. And the same thing goes even later on in life. Now, the thing is, somebody who has been married before, you would think that they have the experience, they understand, and, you know, they would make a wise choice, that they would not fall for the same mistake. And that's where we are wrong, because you would find people that if you are drawn, if there is a brokenness in your soul, let's say that, you know, out of A to Z, ABC is missing in your soul.
Yeah.
Then in the first marriage, you went looking for that ABC. You would not know, but in your second marriage also, you will still be looking for that same ABC. You may be subconsciously doing it, you may be unconsciously doing it, you may be unintentionally doing it, but you will still be looking for the same ABC in the third marriage, in the fourth marriage. And that's why the woman at the well, she's like, I've been married for 5 times.
Yeah.
And the sixth person, I don't have the courage to get into marriage with this person because I don't think this is going to work out either. And so it is not an easy process to just look for that emptiness, that void to be filled by the next person. And that's why I would encourage you to go through a season of healing before remarriage. Is remarriage allowed? Absolutely. But the question really is, what kind of hard work have you put in to deal with your heart issues, to deal with your mind? See, as young people, you know, when they are in their 20s, they are much more easily moldable. And easily can, you know, be joined into a relationship than when someone is in their 30s and 40s. You know, the guys in their 20s, the way they make friends, they can make friends just like that. They can be with anybody, and in the next day they'll have best friends. But the older you grow, the harder it becomes for you to make friends, because you're more structured in your thinking. And it's actually our biology. If you actually study how your brain functions, your brain solidifies certain aspects of your brain. It just solidifies post your 30s. And then not everything is going to be okay for you. You know, not everything is going to come very easily, which means you're not going to be as flexible as earlier. So more so, the reason for you to do your diligent hard work to study yourself well, to prepare your mind well, to prepare your spirit well before you engage into a next marriage. It is very necessary that your previous season is closed. It is a chapter which is buried. You've learned your lessons, you've taken what you need to take, you've still let go of the past. Some people, they have been divorced and yet they are married to that person. Some people, they've been widowed and yet they are married in their heart. Some people, they have been separated for a long time and yet they are even married to the next person, and yet in their heart they are married to the first or the previous person. And all of that is very dangerous, very poisonous, and it's just going to hurt you for a long, long time. And I'm not saying this to judge or condemn anybody. We are not demeaning all the pain that you've had to go through and all the highs and the lows that you've had to go through. Please, please don't think that we are not sympathetic of your situation. But we are trying to help you see that there are certain areas where you need to find help, find answers and solutions before you move on. Moving on is not just a easy thing to do. You know, you definitely need external help, biblical help, professional help from time to time, if necessary, so that you are ready for a next relationship, so that you're ready for a next marriage.
Thank you for shedding light on all that you shared, Apostle. The last question that I have is, what are the justifiable reasons for someone who is not pursuing marriage or is not considering to get married or just wants to stay single?
I mean, there are definitely a lot of reasons that people quote or share when they want to stay single. Many people that I've had conversations with, if you start digging into their heart, if you start digging into their life, sooner or later they will reveal to you that I've had this relationship and I'm too attached to the person that I was in this relationship with, or I was too hurt in that relationship, or I was too abused, or I was I didn't get what I was expecting in that relationship, and or this person refused, and or I became intimate with this person and I don't want to be intimate with someone else. And so sometimes many of our reasons to be single is that we were attached or unequally yoked, or we were in a previous marriage or whatever. You know, those may be the reasons for us to resist marriage and to be single. And those, I don't think, are justifiable reasons for singleness. Although they may be a reason that may cause you to want to inspect your heart more and find deeper solutions for your hurts and every wound in our heart, every challenge that we experience in our heart, instead of looking at it as something that is closing a door in our life, we have to look at it as a window of opportunity to explore deep within and to find the grace of God in those areas of our life, you know, instead of just shutting God off from those areas and say, this happened to me, so I'll never get married. Or this happened to me, so I'll never hang out with men, you know, or this happened to me, so I'll never trust another woman in my life. Instead of shutting those doors in your heart, again, I'm not saying this to judge anybody who has done this before. I understand how painful it is. I understand that it is very hard to let go of certain things, to let go of certain emotions and pain. And that's where our God, he's the best heart surgeon that has ever been, you know. He can surgically remove things from your heart without you even knowing that some things have been dealt with, you know. He does it very carefully. He does it very beautifully. He does it without just hurting you for the rest of your life. He can fix the biggest of messes that has happened in your heart. Some people, they've been abused by their own parents. Some people have been abused from their childhood. And I've seen them turn around to say that I'm never going to trust another man. And then in every relationship they get into, they constantly suspect, they're constantly suspicious, they're constantly doubting and have this anxiety and fear that there's something wrong that is going to happen in that marriage. And they live with that childhood hurt for the rest of their marriage, for the rest of their life. And we know that you were victimized, but we don't have to live as a victim for the rest of our life. That is where we can trust the Lord with those areas of our lives. So there are these other things that are not justifiable. Those are not the reasons for you to be single. If you're saying you want to remain single because of these things, then that's definitely not justifiable. Then there are others who are saying, I do want to get married, but I've just not found the right person. But my heart is open. Whenever the Lord makes it happen, however the Lord makes it happen, my heart is open. I understand that. You know, that's, they are not resisting marriage. They are not resisting the idea of God bringing someone into their life. But then there is a third category. You know, that is what I'd like to read out, you know, for you. This is Apostle Paul who said, I would prefer that all of you be like me. He's not married, he's not committed in a relationship, and he is writing to his disciples, to his church members, and he's actually recommending singleness to his people. And it's crazy to think that Apostle Paul, the pastor, the apostle of a church, would recommend this to leaders and to his church members that, hey, you should try and pursue this lifestyle that I have. And at the same time, he's not demeaning marriage. He's not saying, if you're married, you're sinning or you're doing something wrong. He's just saying, hey, this is why I have pursued singleness. And this is why it is okay. This is why it is justifiable. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man, his only anxiety is about the things of the Lord and how to please the Lord. But the married man, he is anxious about worldly things and how to please his wife and his interests are divided. In other words, even if you're a believer, even if you're a child of God, even if you have a strong identity, if you have a strong revelation of your marriage, even if you have a strong perspective on what marriage takes, if you are a married man, if you're a married woman, then you ought to be anxious about worldly things. You have to devote yourself to certain things that are of the earth. Meaning, your marriage is of the earth. It's a temporary relationship till you die or till you enter into eternity. But you have to devote yourself to that. You can't say, marriage is not there in heaven. Mm-hmm. I don't have to spend time with my spouse. No. You have to be. It is necessary that you give yourself to these things. It says a married man, he has to worry about how to please his wife. I mean, like we are thinking, man, I'll only please God. No. If you are married, you have to please your wife. You have to make sure your wife, your spouse, your husband, they are on board with you. That they enjoy your life. That they enjoy everything. You can't just say, no, I will only live for God. You know, God is my only priority. God is the only one I please. No. If you're a married person, that's not the option for you. Everything in your life gets reordered and realigned according to how your husband or your wife wants to see you. The way you dress, the way you talk, who you talk with, who you hang out with. Everything gets fixed or realigned according to what will please your husband or wife. But then Paul says, this is why I want you to be single, is that if you're single, then your only priority in life is to serve God. The only priority in life is how I can please the Lord. You don't have to be anxious about the worldly things. You don't have to be anxious about the fact that my kids need to pay tuition fee. You don't have to be anxious about the fact that if I'm moving from this city to the next, where will my kids have education? Will my kids have friends? You don't have to be anxious about the fact that, oh, I need to pick up my kids from school at this time. You don't have any anxieties about the worldly things that is necessary for a biblical godly husband or a biblical godly wife. It is necessary for them. As much as they are godly, it's still necessary for them. But for a unmarried person, a single person, this is not priority in their life. Now, that is the only justifiable reason. And Paul actually goes on to say that if there is temptations, if you're being tempted, if you're falling prey to lust, if you're falling prey to the passions of flesh, it is better that you get married. Yeah. Don't withhold yourself and just continue to hurt yourself. Get married. It's okay for you to get married than for you to continue to hurt yourself. But if you want to just please the Lord, and if that is your only priority in life, then, of course, singleness is a blessing to you. Singleness is a gift. Singleness will be the easier way for your, you know, thought process for your life. But on the other hand, if you say that, no, that is not the reason why I want to stay single, then I don't think your cause is justifiable. Then you need to just check your heart to see whether it is just a very selfish motive. Because most people who are single, they just don't want to give up their personal space, or they just don't want to give up their way of doing things.
Comfort.
Not because they want to serve God.
Yeah.
Not because they want to only please God. Because pleasing God means being beaten up by people. Pleasing God means, you know, in Apostle Paul's day and time, he would be beaten up by people. He would be left for dead. He would be traveling from one place to another. He was like a nomad, just out there, just doing what God wants him to do without any burden of, oh, wait, there is a wife waiting for me.
Yeah.
You know, he was all out in serving God. If that is the reason for you to be single, praise God. If that is not, then we need to learn to surrender some of our self-oriented ways of living and ask the Lord, is this what you truly have for me? You know, and if not, then reveal that to me. If it is, then show me how I can please you. Show me how I can make you my only and the greatest priority in life. Show me how to be at your feet all the days of my life. Now, we always have that need for a Mary and a Martha
yeah.
in the church. A Mary who is always at the feet of Jesus. And at the same time, a Martha who is going to cook food for Jesus.
Yeah.
As much as we need people who will receive from Jesus, we also need people who will demonstrate physical, personal help for Jesus. And so if we only say, Marthas are awesome, and kick out all the Marys, then it's a deficient church. And if we just embrace all the Marys and say no Marthas, then I'm telling you, you will have no organization.
You'll be hungry.
You will be hungry. You'd have a very boring life, you know, on the earth, you know, because there's nobody who is worried about the worldly things. You know, nobody is planning for Swiggy. Nobody is planning for which hotel we'll stay in. Nobody is planning, you know, any practical things. Everybody is just concerned about prayer.
Yeah.
And then we will mess up. And so we need the Marys and the Marthas. We need the singles and the married people. We need the ones who are anxious about only the things that please the heart of God. And we need the people that are anxious about worldly things. We need all of them. We embrace all of them. We're not looking down on the singles, nor are we looking down on the married people. Each of us, we have our giftings and the abilities that the Lord has given us. And the key message is we embrace our current season. And we depend on the Lord to survive this season of singleness with the same grace that a married person, he depends on the Lord to survive his area of, you know, being committed and responsible and be an adult in his marriage. We all have to depend on the Lord in the same manner. But we embrace the season and we say, Lord, we thank you for this.
What a beautiful perspective you brought to the table. I enjoyed the conversation. I hope that there is so much that people can pick up from here, ponder upon, reflect, think about where you are, in which season, and embrace it. Thank you, Apostle, for doing this podcast. I hope the ones who are watching or listening, I hope it blesses you, but I also hope that you share it with people who you know it can be a blessing to. We're so grateful for you to bring so much of gold onto the table. Thank you for doing this, you know, week after week, giving us the time. You're investing the time with us so that we grow away from family.
And honestly speaking, I know that I'm growing as I'm talking and sharing these things, because it also allows me to just dig into the heart of God about these topics. Because questions always provoke us to go a little deeper. Why we do what we do? You know, is there another way of doing things? What is the thing that matters really to God? And at no point should anybody assume that we have all the answers in the world. The scripture has all the answers. We keep exploring the scripture to try and understand how can we do this better and how can we do that better.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you again for joining us. We will catch up with you on the next podcast. Until then, see you.